Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Today's reading is about Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. John 21, verses 1 to 14. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large numbers of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. A couple of years ago, before we come to Australia, Pedram and I went camping. We wanted to catch fish for the first time, and then we wanted to put it on the charcoal fire for lunch. We tried hard and spent a couple of hours to catch fish. We even changed the spot several times, but we failed. Thank God I had brought enough food, so we had something else to eat. Otherwise, we couldn't survive in the middle of nowhere. We didn't have enough experience and skills to catch fish. But in this story we just read, we see experienced fishermen went for fishing, but they couldn't catch any. Today, we are looking at the last chapter of Gospel of John, where Jesus appears again to his disciples. But before that, let us pray. Our risen Lord, we give you thanks for your living word, for your love and care. Help us to listen to you eagerly, with open hearts and ears. Amen. Let's journey back to the time before Jesus died and risen. It was during the Last Supper. Jesus spoke to his disciples about betrayal and denial. We read in John 13 that Jesus told his disciples that he would be with them only for a short time, emphasizing the importance of holding onto his command to love one another. So Peter asks him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." The events that followed must have seemed like a nightmare to Peter. Jesus' words were proven true as Peter denied his Lord, even denying that he knew him. Then Jesus was sentenced to death and before Peter's very eyes was crucified. Peter was helpless in the face of his final breath. Here in chapter 21, Simon Peter and the other disciples were together. Peter, whose job was fishing, told the others that he's going to go fishing. And they said to him, "We will also go with you." They were in a boat all night until near morning, but they couldn't catch any fish. Some of you who are interested in fishing know that you must choose the right time and place for fishing. If you can catch any, you probably feel happy, satisfied, with high self-confidence. Peter, as an experienced fisherman, knows that that time in that season was the best time for fishing. After catching fish, he could sell them in the morning. Now imagine that Peter and other disciples waited for hours into the night, but they couldn't catch any fish. They probably felt hungry, disappointed, failed, and frustrated. These emotions might have made them doubt about themselves and their abilities. At dawn, they saw a figure on the shore, a man. It was Jesus, but they didn't recognize him. There might be some reasons, but maybe it was early hours in the morning with half light, and because of distance, it was difficult for the disciples to see Jesus clearly. We remember that from the first appearance that he was not recognized immediately. Verses 5 and 6 says, "He called out to them, 'Friends, haven't you any fish?' 'No,' they answered. He said, 'Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some.' When they did, they were unable to hold the net in because of the large number of fish. 'Throw your net on the other side and you will find.'" This sentence was a boom in the disciples' mind. First to the beloved disciple, then to Peter, and then to others. The words from a stranger on the shore gave them the first clue and probably reminded John of when Jesus said before, "Seek and you will find." When Jesus told them, "Throw your net to the other side," the disciples could say, "We are fishermen. We know where we should throw our net. This is our job, and we don't need to listen to you." And they might have said to each other, "Why this stranger is asking us to do this?" When we go back to the story of Jesus and his disciples, especially Peter, we see that there were many times when they really messed up. Peter was not a faithful disciple, and many times he had little faith. Why Jesus asked them to throw the net to the right side of the boat? Why didn't the disciples catch any until Jesus told them? Well, let us focus on three reasons. The first one is renewal and abundance. I believe that after all the things that Peter and other disciples had done, they must have felt something. Maybe shame, regret, failure or guilt. Especially Peter, who had told Jesus, "I'm never going to leave you or deny you." He must have carried a lot of these feelings. But the reason Jesus on the shore didn't want to talk about their failure, he asked them to throw the net to the right side to help them to gain success. Jesus knows that the right side on the boat is the proper side for catching fish. Jesus knows that they are hungry, they are exhausted and disappointed. Jesus knows that they need courage, a fresh start. Jesus wants to restore them. Despite all their failure, Jesus still loves them. He wanted to remind Peter and other disciples of his love and mercy. He wanted to remind them of their responsibility as his followers. He took Peter and others back to the journey when they just started to follow him and tried to bring them back in such a kind way, a renewal for them. Not just a renewal, but the miraculous catch of fish was a sign of abundance as well. When we follow Jesus and trust in his provision and having faith on him, God can provide for us, even more than what we are expecting. He is not only able to provide our physical needs, but he can also provide our spiritual needs with his divine power. He can renew us and gives us abundance. We trust we can experience both spiritual and physical abundance. The second reason is to encourage the disciples to have faith in him. When Jesus' beloved disciple says, "This is the Lord," Peter jumped into the water and swam to the shore to see the Lord. It seems it was a new start for Peter. Jesus wanted to open the disciples' eyes to show them that they cannot catch any just by relying on their own power and skills. Even with all the skills and knowledge that they had. But if they rely on the power of God, they can catch and success. Jesus commanded them to throw the net to the other side, and they did. After they'd been trying to catch all night, now their net was full of fish. Jesus wanted to show his identity to the disciples as the Messiah. He wanted to ask them to follow him and trust him again. The third one is to remind them of their ministry. Jesus' appearance to Peter and other disciples at the same place in a similar story wasn't an accident. When Jesus called them to follow him for the first time, he met them here at the Sea of Galilee while they were fishing. When Jesus met them for the first time, he told them that, "I will make you fisher of people." Jesus wanted to remind them the journey that they had started with him. All these 3 years they were with Jesus. They had learned from him and had been witnesses of his authority and miracles. And now they had a job to do: to go and to be fisher of people. to go and talk to others about his mighty name, to go and share this good news that Jesus is risen with those who need a real hope in their lives, to those who are lost in sin and darkness. The full net of fish was a reminder to the disciples of their call and ministry. In verses 9 and 10, we see that when disciples landed on the shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus asked them to bring some of the fish that they had caught. Jesus wanted the disciples to have contribution in the breakfast. They were tired and hungry. Jesus invited them to have breakfast with him. The risen Lord invites them to sit and eat with him. It might be sometimes that we feel different in our relationship with God. Time of shame, regret, or guilt, just like Peter. Or maybe we have been waiting for a time for restoration and a new start with our relationship with God. That was the time for Peter. Peter denied Jesus, but Jesus didn't deny Peter. Jesus was very kind and gentle to bring the disciples' failure back. Jesus showed his divine love. After all the denials and mess up, God still loves them. Jesus was standing on the shore for Peter and other disciples. He is standing on the shore of our lives every single day. He is standing and offering us food, not just physical food, but spiritual food. He is offering his love and mercy. He is offering a fresh start. He is offering us restoration. The disciples didn't recognize Jesus, but they listened to him because their net was empty. They felt disappointed, and they needed food. Do we have an empty net today? Do we need to throw our nets to the other direction? Jesus can bring us back from whatever has taken us from our faith and relationship with our God. This time, Peter swam toward Jesus with trust. He swam against all those bad feelings, shame, regret, guilt. Remember, this is the same Peter who on the stormy night got down on the boat to walk on the water to go toward Jesus. But he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me!" But now he sees the resurrected Jesus and gets out of the boat. Sometimes we need to swim in the other direction with trust. We need to swim against our failure, against all those feelings that Peter had. Sometimes we mess up just like Peter. But that's okay, because God's forgiveness and love always fill our nets and shows us the right direction. God can restore us always, always. God can make things brand new. He is able to make broken things brand new for his purpose. Friends, the peak of Easter is not the end. We all are living in after Easter, the resurrection. Jesus gave his life on the cross to forgive our sins. His death on the cross gave us salvation. Not only his death, but his resurrection from the death gives us victory. What does the life after Easter mean to us? What does Jesus' resurrection to do our daily lives? Because of Jesus' resurrection, we live a forgiven life. We place our trust in his death and resurrection and receive forgiveness for all our sins. We can live freely because the tomb is empty and Jesus is alive. Disciples were not perfect. Even after Easter, they went to their own business. They were counting on their own abilities. They still do mistakes. They still do something wrong. But Jesus was there to tell them that he loves them. We are not only having a forgiven life, but we also are having a meaningful life. The resurrection of Jesus gives meaning to our lives. The main purpose of life is to glorify God. We are created for God, and he is worthy of glory and honor. And we are created to magnify and worship him. The purpose of life is not all about us, but it's all about God. Wherever we work, whoever we have relationship with, and whatever we do, whether in word or deed, we do it in all in the name of the Lord, because Jesus' resurrection gives us a meaningful and purposeful life. Jesus' resurrection gives us a living hope for the future. Knowing that he is alive and in our empty net, giving us joy and confidence. He provides for us, and we are not alone. He will come back one day, and until then, we keep faith in him and his mighty authority over everything. Amen.